Kovches Mao Cheshvan, Tuesday the 29th of November, Rabbi Eli Pick, Sefer HaYosho. The Book of Upwards.
I'd like to start with a simple question. You have a daughter to marry off, and it just so happens that there are only two boys left in the world. You've heard of the Shidduch crisis. One of these boys is a very kind and considerate and caring person. Problem with him is his emuna is a bit dodgy. In fact, he's an atheist. And the second boy, he's a believer, he's well-learned, he's a Baki Bashas, but he's extremely temperamental. He's very hot-tempered, arrogant, and acrimonious. Which one of those boys would you choose for your daughter? Or put another way, no doubt your daughter will have a say in the matter, which would she choose for herself? No doubt there'll be a 50% reduction in the Shadchanos fee, but whatever it is, this question is not a recent one. It emerges from the Droshas Haran in its fifth perek. So the choice is between a boy who is caring and considerate, but lacking in emunah, and somebody who is very hot-tempered and acrimonious, who is a Baki Bashas. But before we deal with that, dealing with the name of our Shia, Sefer HaYoshar, I was kindly shown a storybook which is based on a Sefer HaYoshar. Apparently Rabbeinu Tam wrote a Sefer HaYoshar. But the Netziv asks, why is it that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar? And he brings a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Chof Hei, and there it says, my Sefer HaYoshar, because the word Sefer HaYoshar is referred to in a couple of places in the Vir. One is in Yehoshua, in Perek Yud, and the other one is in Shmuel Beis Perek Aleph, and it talks about Sefer HaYoshar. So the Gemara asks, my Sefer HaYoshar, what is it? So Rabbi Elazar says it's talking about Sefer Devarim, because in Sefer Devarim it says, Vosiso HaYoshar Vato, you should do what is good and right, and therefore Yashrus, everything comes into a general tzivoy of common sense of being good, and that is why he says Sefer Devarim is called Sefer HaYoshar. But Rabbi Chiya Bar Rabin says no. Sefer HaYoshar is Sefer Avram Yitzchok VeYaakov. It's Sefer Bereishis. Shenikru Yeshorim. Because Avram and Yitzchok and Yaakov were called Yeshorim. What does Yeshorim mean? Why weren't they called Tzadikim or Chasidim? What's the idea of the word Yeshorim? And he quotes from Bilam Horosho, who in his rare moments of Nevuah made a prayer that his death should be as smooth as the death of the others. Tomus Nafshi Mos Yeshorim. And he's referring to Avram and Yitzchok and Yaakov as Yeshorim. So as we asked, why aren't the others called Tzadikim, Chasidim? What's this thing about Yeshorim? We do find in the Torah a description of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Atzur Tomim Paolo in Parshas Hazinu, Kichod Rochov Mishpot, and then we say Tzadik V'Yoshorhu, as if to say that there is something about Yashrus which you do not simply get in the Tzadik. That there's a further step beyond the tzidkus, which is called Yashrus. And that virtue we find in the others, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And Rav Simcha Sissel Brody says that that virtue of Yashrus, we find in many times, not just in the others, but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He writes an example we'll come to in a moment. But when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, says the Netziv, there were people who were tzaddikim, people who were chassidim, people who were omelei Torah. They were learning Torah properly. Avaloha yeshorim. They were not yoshor. They didn't have enough respect for other people. They didn't have yashrus. Hence the sinas chinom, why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So there's something in yashrus which you don't get in tzidkus or in chassidus. So to give an example, Rashi brings down the Medrash. In Bereishis Rabba Perek Ches, Om Rav Shul Banachman B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Om B'Shem B'Shosha Moshe Kosev HaSatorah. When Moshe Rabbeinu was writing down the Torah at the dictation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hayakosev Maisek Kol Yom V'Yom, he wrote the whole stories of Maisek Bereishis, first day, the second day, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything else, animal kingdom, until it gets to the sixth day. Kimin shegia l'posik hazeh, shenem avayom elikim nase odom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's make man. But salmeinu kidmuseinu. Omar lefonov, Rebbeinu ha'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu argues with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't do that. Matan nosim pischem pelaminim. If you say, Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu, we will make man, you're giving a taina to the Abikosim. You're giving an excuse to the other religions of the world, and look at the way the Christians behave. Nase, aha, we. That there's something pluralistic about it. So Moshe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't do that. Hashem Echod Ushmo Echod, there is one God, you should say, Ese, I will make man, not Nase. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Kesov, write it down. I don't care. Whoever wants to make a mistake and go off the derech, let them make a mistake. That's their problem. What I want you to do is to write Nase. Why? Because it's derech eretz that I consult. Even if I am the managing director, I'm the chief executive officer. Nevertheless, I'm consulting my staff. Just as if you were director of an office and you've got staff and you want to restructure the organization and the business, you might have made up your mind already what you're going to do, but as a matter of derech eretz, you will consult your staff, you will ask them for their views, you tell them that their views are taken into account, and that way you're showing them some sort of respect, you're raising their morale, and that is the way a person should run a business. I mean, Her Majesty's government, they consult about HS2 and they consult about the third runway for Heathrow, even though they've made up their mind already. And I'm not suggesting that they have that same tzidkus, but it's the same idea that one consults, one does public participation in order to feel as though there is some sort of democracy going on. So Hashem is actually preferring that he teaches the lesson of Derech Eretz at the expense of belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, at the expense of Emunah. Because people's Emunah might be affected if he says the word Nase, but I want to teach Derech Eretz. I want to teach that idea. The Alter of Slobodka said, that's all very nice, but Moshe Rabbeinu's question still stands. Okay, Hashem has given him an answer, but people might well go astray. And from here he says, that's the Chiddush. That Hashem is saying, I prefer that people learn about Derech Eretz, then they come to Emunah, and the Emunah will come later, but the Derech Eretz has to come first. And from here the Chofetz Chaim says, from here we learn the idea, Derech Eretz, Kodmo, the Torah. So we know about after Reacha Kamocha and the story of Hillel standing on one leg, this is the whole Torah, go and learn the rest. But in the Sifra and Kedoshim, where it talks about Rabbi Akiva calling it Zeklal Godol Batorah, it says there in the Sifra in Parsha Beis, after Reacha Kamocha, Rabbi Kiva Omer Ze Klal Godol BaTorah. This is the great principle of the Torah, to love your fellow neighbor. But Benazai Omer, Benazai says no, it's not the after Reacha Kamocha which is most important. He says the posuk Ze Sefer Toldos Odom Biyom Bara Elokim Odom Bidmus Elokim Bara Oso. In the image of God, the Tzelem Elokim, a person is created, so that when you're having respect for another person, it's not simply because of after Reacha Kamocha, it's because that other person is Tzelem Elokim. He is created in the image of God. So if somebody embarrasses you or hurts you, you might think, oh well, after Reacha Kamocha, it's equal, I love him like myself, so if he embarrasses me, then I can embarrass him. No, because that person is Tzelem Elokim, that is why you mustn't take that revenge. My Rosh Hashiva of Meir Schlesinger once said that people's mistake in the non-Jewish world is they talk about cruelty. There were famous Nazis who were vegetarians because they said it's cruel to animals. He said the idea of cruelty is Tzar Balei Chaim. That's what applies to animals. You need a step higher when you're dealing with people. Not just cruelty, but Tzelem Elokim. And when you recognize that a person is Tzelem Elokim, then you're on the right track. So the run, coming back to our shidduch question as to which person to marry one's daughter to, he says, an interesting idea, that when it comes to midas, a person's virtues, those are characteristics which are often passed on from one generation to the next. That the virtues that you might have something genetic about them. All right, one learns about midas and one can work on one's midas, but the intrinsic ingrained values often one gets from previous generations. That's why the Maharal says there's something important about yichus, because if you are descended from somebody important, that should indicate that your midas and your chinuch should be of a similar nature. Halavai. But when it comes to mitzvahs, you've got bechira. There is a choice between one way or the other way. That's not necessarily determined by genetics, although upbringing has an influence. But he says when it comes to handing something down, it's midas which go transmitted from one gene to the next. Whereas mitzvahs, you've got the bechira. Therefore, he says, v'lochein, ruah techunas anshei Canaan. Why is it that Avraham Avinu did not want to marry his son off to the daughters of Canaan? He was so particular about it, as he instructed Eliezer in last week's parsha. Hoyim ischayv shiim shach livnei machareim. Because the midas of Canaan don't change. Because they were people of achzorius. Because they were so evil in their midas. That gets transmitted. After all, Eliezer was a Canaanite. And he was very obedient, and he fulfilled the wishes of Avraham Avinu. Although the Midrash says he was really the same person as Og Melech HaBoshan, who was a Rosha. But because he was in the house of Avraham Avinu, he was influenced and he behaved. But his intrinsic midas were the Canaanite midas, and that's why Avraham Avinu did not want his son to marry Eliezer's daughter. He would rather have his son marrying the daughter of Besuel, who was an idolater. There was no emunah there. He and Lavan together, they worshipped idols. So he was preferring to marry off his son to an idolatrous place where there is no emunah, rather than to a place where they might be obedient, but the midas are not quite right. And so although in this week's parsha you've got Vayisrotz Sarbonim Bekirbo and Esav is born with bad midas, nevertheless Esav still had Bechira, he could still work on himself. But you get there the distinction between the midas and the mitzvahs. From this the Ran says that the idolater shidduch is better than the bad midas. It's an amazing chiddush. Put another way, we've got the Sefer Bereishis, the parsha of Noach and the flood. Why did Hashem send the flood? Because people were stealing from each other. Sense the mubble. But when we get to the Dor HaFloga, the people, their emunah went all dodgy. I mean, it was much worse. And did Hashem destroy them? No. Well, he punished them by getting them mixing up languages and so on. That was idolatry. But Hashem destroyed the world because people were stealing, because people didn't have respect for each other. So that the relationship between human beings was more important in Hashem's eyes than their emunah. So there's an interesting sefer called Aram HaKaros, and in Chelek Gimel, Rav David Solomon writes a few examples about a certain Haredi gentleman who is very meductic in his mitzvahs, and he does things with such fervor. He's a Haredi person who will do everything he can to fulfill his mitzvahs properly, so much so that when he puts on his talis with great kavona, the tzitzis swing into somebody's eyes and hurt him. And on one occasion, the tzitzis actually knock the fellow's eyeglasses off and break them. And the fellow comes up to him and says, you know what you've done, your tzitzis, they flew in my eyes and you break my glasses. And what does this certain person say? Nuvos kenishmachen, shveses einayid. He says, this same person who does mitzvahs with great fervor, and when other people try to stop him, he says it's the Mises Sotten. He talks about the person who does not want to throw away his stale bread. Instead, he feeds it to the birds. And the birds come, and they make a big mess on their neighbor's washing line. And the neighbors complain, and he shrugs his shoulders. He says, what sort of neighbors do I have? They don't understand the din of Baltashkis. And this same person who hoses his balcony on Erev Pesach to make sure there are no crumbs to make sure that it's all perfectly clean for Yom Tov, and the water from his balcony goes down onto the lower balconies, soiling them. And the neighbours complain, and he shrugs his shoulders and he says, "No, what do these neighbours know about the mitzvah of tashbisu and getting rid of chometz?" It's a certain mentality, he writes, which puts people on the wrong track. They might be tzaddikim, they might be chassidim, but are they yeshorim? He talks about a minag in many shuls where it's the custom to say the haftarah quietly. Each individual says it quietly. And there's a bar mitzvah going on in the shul, and the bar mitzvah boy starts leining the haftarah loudly. So what does this unnamed person do? He bangs his fist on the table and he shouts, "Minag amokum! We should be saying the haftarah quietly. The bar mitzvah boy should be quiet." And the bar mitzvah boy bursts out crying, "Is this menschlichkeit?" Says the Kotzker Rebbe, "What is a true chassid? Misha eina osa ikha latofel, latofel la ikha." People who make the important things unimportant and the unimportant things more important. But note, this fellow we're talking about, he's full of mesiras nefesh. But is he tzaddik? Is he chosid? Is he yoshor? And if you're a yeshiva bacha, queuing up, self-serving your soup in the dining room, are you going to sift out all the watery bits so that you get all the nice lumps from the soup, leaving the other people in your yeshiva to have a watery soup? Are you going to spend 45 minutes in the bath on Friday afternoon because you have to be clean and meticulous for Shabbos, whilst many people are waiting outside in the bathroom to get in? And is it menschlichkeit to throw your cigarette ends down on the ground in the shul courtyard? Somebody once came to the Kotzker Rebbe and said, "I finished Shas." The Kotzker Rebbe said, "Yes, but what did Shas do for you?" And when the Ponovitcherov came to B'nai Barak, everybody thinks that the first thing he did was build the yeshiva, the famous yeshiva of Ponovitch. That was not what he did. He said, "The first building we're going to put up is an old age home, that people learn the importance of caring for the elderly. That is the most important thing to start off with. And then we will build the yeshiva."
How do you know that?
The Vilna Gaon, when he was 4 years old, his father felt that maybe he was learning a bit too much. At the age of four, he said, "You know what, I think you should go out to play, Elio. You know, the boys playing in the park outside. Join them a bit." So being obedient to his father, he goes out. And shortly, he comes back. And his father says, "Why are you back so quickly?" He says, "Daddy, there was only one toy to play with in the park, a seesaw, and I could not play with a seesaw." His father said, "Why not?" He said, "Because in order for me to be on top, I have to push somebody else down." That is the making of a Vilna Gaon. To realize that in order for you to get to the top, you mustn't push anybody else down. And this respect for other people is brought out by the Chayodom in Hilchas Tefillah, that when one goes to daven in the morning, the first thing you have to do, he says, "Yikabel al atzma bepratus leavis kol echod ve'echod mibnei odom kegufa." The first thing you have to do before you daven in the morning is accept upon yourself the mitzvah of v'afton l'racha kamoch. Well, what's that got to do with davening? You're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to your fellow man. He says, "Kamasha kosav after ech kamocho v'alidei zeh." But as a result of that, your tefillah will work. It will become effective. What's the idea behind this? I once heard a very interesting idea from Rabbi Chol Skobak of Toronto. He said, "There's a din in the morning when you've got these very dark mornings like we have now. What's the earliest time you can say the Shema? All right, but d'yeved we talk about omod ha-shachar, but the chachila, the time then you could start davening is mishayakir. When you can recognize somebody, Dalad Amos away, so it's getting light, but it's not fully light. When you can recognize somebody 4 Amos away, that person is the identity you can look at to decide whether you can start davening, and then it's enough light to start davening, to complete, ideally, your tefillah with Netzach Chamo. But Mishayakir, so he says Mishayakir has another meaning. The meaning we just explained was the halachic interpretation, but there is a Musa interpretation. In order to start davening, you have to possess the quality of Mishayakir, to appreciate and respect your fellow man. And when you are mishayakir and you've got that love for your fellow man, then you are ready to start davening. And it's the same idea. What's the first thing you say when you come into shul in the morning? Ma tovo lecho Yaakov mishkeno secho Yisrael. Very nice bracha from Bilam, but what's it got to do with the davening? It's to do with the private houses, that the windows and doors of the tents did not look into each other. So Bilam gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael because we respected the privacy and we respected the dignity of each other. And that's why we say Ma Tovo Lecha Yaakov when we come into shul. Because if we first respect the dignity and privacy and amenity of our fellow Jew, then we will achieve something in our tefillahs. So if you do stay on in shul for a shir, don't block others in the car park. Don't come out afterwards with the excuse, well, I had to stay on for the shir. Don't do your mitzvahs on Yenam's cheshbon, on somebody else's account. The story is told of Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, who went to a place, and although you should wash your hands for Natilas Yudayim with a lot of water, he was very careful not to use much water at all. He used it but simtum. And his Talmidim said to him, why are you using so little water for Natilas Yudayim? He said, because the lady who brings up the water from the well has to walk up the hill, and the more water I use, the more work it is for her. I don't have to do my mitzvahs on her cheshbon. And there's another story told about Rabbi Yisrael Salanta that when he was not well in bed, he came to Pesach and his Talmidim were baking matzah. And they said, Rebbe, what are the most important chumras we have to keep when we're baking the matzah? The way we knead the dough, the 18 minutes. What's the most important chumra of all? And he said, the most important chumra of all when you bake the matzah is be careful how you speak to this woman who brings you your water up the hill from the well. She is a widow. And when you're baking matzah, you easily get excited or angry. Be careful how you speak to her, not to hurt her feelings. That is the most important chumra of all. The Chidushi Arim, the Ger Rebbe, was once asked the question, why is it that the Shabbos before Pesach has a special name, Shabbos HaGodol, and the Shabbos before Yom Kippur and Sukkot have a special name, Shabbos Shuvah, but the Shabbos before Shavuos, what's it called? And he answered, it has got a name. Shabbos Derech Eretz. Why? Because Shavuos is Matan Torah, and Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, so the Shabbos before Shavuos is called Shabbos Derech Eretz, and there is a minug brought down in the Luach Dovo Be'ito to learn Masechta Derech Eretz Zuta on that Shabbos, so said the Chidush Orim, the Geira Rebbe. And this is interesting because Rav Dessler writes, in Michtav Meliyahu, he says it's all very well when you're doing the mitzvahs of shofar, lulav, sukkah, tefillin, matzah, but how do you fulfill this idea of loving somebody else? In the same way that you love Hashem, how do you come to the idea of an emotional love? Lo hafto. How do you bring it about? And Rav Dessler says it's because people really got the ideas the wrong way around. People think that because they love their wife, they give them jewellery. You're not giving your wife the present because you love her. You are giving her the present, and because of your giving, you will grow to love. And in the same way, why is it that we love our children so much? Because we're giving to them. We're giving to the elderly. We love them. The Hebrew word ahav, or love, comes from heves, which means to give. So the whole root of the idea of love for somebody is to give somebody else. So, I'm not a marriage guidance counsellor, but Rav Pesach Kron once said, he said, what's the most respect you can give to your wife? He said, when you're sitting at the dining room table and she's serving the soup, you wait until she is ready to start her soup, and then you start your soup. And if you're hungry, so eat a piece of challah first, but don't start your soup. Why? Because she's not your maid. You don't have to make her feel that way. Wait for her, and that gives her respect. Fortunately, my wife gives me a heter. She said, don't let your soup get cold. Start without me. But it's this idea. I once knew somebody called Rav Shabtai Nissel. He was nifta a couple of years ago. Every single morning, before he went to shul, he took up to his wife a cup of tea and placed it at her bedside for 40 years until she was nifta. You know, it's a good idea to mention these kinds of things in the chosson lessons, and maybe we might be able to reduce the churban of families which we see nowadays. So coming back to the Nasiv asks, why is it that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer Yeshorim? What is the most important aspect of this? He says, because when you look at the way Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov behaved towards non-Jewish people, that is the way we should behave. Look at the way Avraham Avinu behaved towards Sodom. He didn't like them. He hated them. But he davened for them. He begged Hashem to help them survive. Look at the way he spoke to Ephraim. He's just been through the traumas of the Akedah and the death of Sorah. And what does he do? Vayokom. He gets up and he speaks to Ephraim in a respectful way. He treats the Goyim with the greatest of respect. The way he behaved towards Lot. The way Yitzchok spoke to Avimelech. The way Yaakov Avinu behaved towards Lavan. Lavan was such a cheat, he wanted to kill him. He cheated him aseres monim, not 10 times, but as Chazal say, 100 times. He switched his wife. But nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu speaks to Lavan with respect. This is why the Ovos are called Yeshorim. They practice tolerance. Uvishumhochi nikra sefa yosha almaisa Ovos bezeh haprat. To recognize that other people, non-Jewish people, are tzelem elokim, to greet them, to appreciate them, and to respect them. To pray for the welfare of the royal family. My mother, Alah Shalom, used to go round to our neighbors before every Pesach. She knocked on the non-Jewish neighbors' doors with a box of matzahs. And she said to them, look, we got the festival of Passover coming. We'd like to share with you our festival. And she gave them matzahs. All right, they weren't the best heksha, but she gave them a box of matzahs. They were so flattered. It made them feel special. And it created such good harmony, just for the price of a box of matzahs. The idea of yashrus, going beyond the idea of being a tzaddik. It is said about Rav Monk, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the founder of Monk's Shul. He was a Kohen, and every time he did a Pidyon HaBen, and he received 5 silver coins, he declared it on his tax return. Oh.
Very taxing.
I mean, what impression is created when sitting inside Wormwood Scrubs at Her Majesty's pleasure for tax fraud? And insisting on receiving only Kadassia food. When Nafshama Zalman Auerbach, when his wife died, he thought he'll, in Shaare Tzedek Hospital, he thought he'll go down the staircase rather than use the lift in order that he doesn't meet anybody. His wife had just died. But he went down the stairs and he met a bocher from his yeshiva. And the bocher met him and said, Rebbe, my wife just gave birth to a baby girl. He said, Mazel Tov, wonderful, fantastic, lovely news. How is the mother? How is the baby? Are they doing all right? What weight was the baby? Blah, blah, blah. He didn't say anything about the fact that his wife was nifta a few minutes beforehand. And when this bocher found out, he felt so guilty. And he came to the shiva and he said, Rebbe, I ask you for mechila. I ask you for mechila that I spoke to you like this and your wife had just died. He said, that's not the point. It doesn't matter. That the fact that my wife died doesn't affect the fact that I'm very happy for you and the fact that you've had a baby. He felt for others. Once Reb Moshe Feinstein was standing under a chuppah and the photographer didn't know who he was and told him to move along in a rather rude way. And he moved. You know, the biggest bother at these family weddings are the photographers bossing you around telling you what to do. And somebody remarked to Reb Moshe, somebody said to him, do you allow this? Do you allow him to boss you about like that? He said, the photographer we respect, that is his parnosa, let him get on with his job. Oh. At the very end of the Siva Solom, the Maharal writes about the idea of loving other people and the idea of Derech Eretz. He says, Al-Kain, Al-Yikal Odom B'Dvarim Shehim Derech Eretz, Ki Kodmo Derech Eretz L'Torah. Derech Eretz comes before Torah. Kamosha Omru, as it says in Tanot Ve'Eliyahu Perek Aleph, Lishma es derech eitz hachayim. The word derech zed derech eretz, and eitz hachayim zu Torah. And the Torah was given 1,000 years later after derech eretz came about. So that the derech eretz comes first, even to the extent that it's better to choose a menschlich shidduch, said the Ran, than a learned one. Such a chiddush is amazing, that respect for others, Jews and Gentile alike, that we know all about Menschlichkeit, but do we know how high it comes within the scale of priorities? Thank you for sharing this with me. Thank you.